Sarvasastab dipyusha sarva vedika satvala sarvasiddhanta ratnadya sarva lokeka trikpada sarva bhagavata prana shrimada bhagavatam prabho kali dvantorita aditya shri krishna parivartita paramananda pataya prema varshakshraya te sarvata sarvisevyaya shri krishnaya namosate madeka bandhu madsangin madgurur madmahadanam Madnistaraka madhbhagya madananda namostate sadhu sadhudatayan ati nitru chataraka hanamunchakadachanamam premnuratantantantantayaspurat Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya This is May 26th of 2012, Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 28, verse number 30, and New Sevakunj Temple. Tasyam Sanjanayama Chakra Atmajam Masitekshanam Yaviyasa Sapta Sutan Sapta Dravida Bhubhruta Synonyms Tasyam through her Saha the king Janayam Chakre begot Atmajam daughter Asita blue or black Ikshanam whose eyes Yaviyasa younger very powerful Sapta seven Sutan sons Sapta seven Dravida province of Dravida or South India Bhu of the land Bhruta Kings. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Malaya Dvaja fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had seven sons who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus there were seven kings in that land. Purport. King Malaya Dvaja was a great devotee, and after he married the daughter of King Vidarbha, he gave her one nice daughter, whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of the king Malayadvaja was also bestowed with devotional service, for her eyes were always fixed on Krishna. Devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Out of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship, and surrendering everything were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhimarga and Ragamarga. The process of becoming friends with the Lord, sacrificing everything for Him, belongs to the category of Ragamarga, the stage of developed devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, serving the deity in the temple, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers, and always engaging in the service of the Lord, worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. The word yaviyasa indicates that these processes are very powerful. After a devotee engages in the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakyam and Atma Nivedanam. Generally, the great acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world belong to the category of Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. A devotee cannot actually become a preacher. Neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. A neophyte is advised to execute devotional service in seven other fields. Shravanam Kirtanam is there. If one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can in the future be situated in a platform of Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. The specific mention of Dravididesha refers to the five Dravidideshas in South India. All are very strong in rendering preliminary devotional process, Shravanam Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya also came during Dravidi days, became great preachers. They're all situated in the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Vrindavanayana Vrindaviti Prasitta Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Suparamule Jnanam Param Paramaya Krishna Sutarma Chuktam Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste. Naksangasara Dukkha Jalado Patitasya Kama Krodadi Nakramakarai Kavali Kritasya Duravasana Nigaditasya Narasrayasya Chaitanya Chandramamatehi Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Kopaveshikisoro Sahachara Ganavrindai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabarajataveisho Nilapitambaradyo Jagata Jananaheto Ramakrishna Tosmi. Manchakalpatur Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Beva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there were seven sons and there are five Dravidi Deshas. Where did they go? Well, five went to those, became kings of those individual states. And where do the other two go? Well, Maharashtra is basically part of South India, not. So one could have gone there. And one could have gone somewhere else, you know, the eastern side, like that. Now it mentions one daughter that he gave, one daughter that had very black or blue eyes. Prabhupada says it means that she was focused on Krishna. That's it. Everything, it depends on cultivation. Of course, is it karma or is it destiny? Bhishma Pitamaha, you just there asked this question to Bhishma Pitamaha in Rajanushasana Parva of Mahabharata, and he said 50-50. So the good fortune of the living entity is likely in birth is due to past activities combined with their karma. So she must have had some pretty good karma. And you know, it was, he gave seven sons and one daughter. Lady wants at least one daughter. It would be good. I have my Sanskrit friend, Matsyavatar, he says every couple wants a boy and a girl. But if that householder man has two girls, he's really finished. So it was a funny point. There is no guarantee the child will be a devotee. That's not guaranteed. What's guaranteed is they'll be a burglar. They'll pick their parents' pocket. That's guaranteed. The male child picks the mother's pocket, and the female child picks the father's pocket. In, this is Shloka, 8th Canto, chapter 22, verse 9, where Bali Maharaj tested by being arrested by the ropes of Arura. His mood is tested, and he's quoting Prahlad Maharaj. So his grandfather had a lot of influence on his mood. So he says, Kim atmananena jahati yovantata. What is the use of this body which leaves its owner at the time of death? Everybody's on the path of death. It's a question of when. Then he says, in the first part, he says, Kim riktaharai svajanakya dasibi. What is the use of the relatives that are plunderers? Steal all the money that could be used for Krishna. So Prabhupada is giving the lecture and he says, if a burglar comes, you call the police. If your spouse and child comes, this is love. How they pick my pocket. Then Bali Maharaj mentions, Kim jayaya, shamshriti hetu bhutaya. What's the use of my wife who gives birth? She's the cause of all my problems. Vindhyavali was extremely chaste and first class. She was really in anxiety. And Brahma, being very gracious, let her speak first. She said, my dear Vamanadeva, My husband was so puffed up, he thought he was the emperor of the entire universe. By stealing all his opulences, you've brought him down to size. He's nothing more than your insignificant servant. He may be released, which is French for, I just want my husband, you know. Can I go home now, you know? I just want my husband, can I go home, you know? So her chastity was not under question. Yet he says, Kim jayaya samshitehe tu bhutaya. It means legal or illegal. Licit or illicit, it's hell. Martyasya gehai kimihai ushavayam. Attachment to these things simply destroy the duration of human life. Then Shloka 10, he says, Idamasanis chitti pita moho mahan. This was the mode of my grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. So it's basically, and if you look on 10th canto, the residents of Navajambudvip give proper prayers. Basically, 5th canto, chapter, I think it's 18, verses number 8, 9, like that, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking. And it's quite similar in points. A little different Sanskrit, but similar points. Pretty interesting stuff. So, Prabhupada is referring to the process of devotional service. Now, this chapter, Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. It's all warnings. A lot of Bhagavatam is given, and Puranas is also given, warning you. What is the consequence of our thoughts and actions? So we should act accordingly. That's the point. Now, because Prabhupada is referring to the seven process of devotional service, so that's a very important aspect for any devotee, male or female, in this world, to engage in. And in the material world, everything simply goes down. And we're cut in the middle. Therefore, it's important for us to become internal. That's all. Now, the last thing, Prabhupada was saying, if you're engaging in the seven processes of the nine, then Sakyam and Admanivedam will come later. It's spontaneous. Actually, that's described by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that in of the process of relationship with the Supreme Lord, Shantaras and Dasyarasa is there within the Vaikuntha and the heavenly planets, up to Gauravadasya. Says Gaurava Sakya. Gaurava Sakya is friendship with veneration, like Arjuna had. Like Arjuna had in Srimad Bhagavatam is described. But Vishramba Sakya, fraternal friendship, friendship without being stifled by undue veneration, and Vatsalya and Madhurya. These relationships are only there in Goloka. And Krishna says, quoted by Kaviraj Goswami in Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse 19, whatever way my devotee worships me, I reciprocate accordingly. And that is my nature. Yeah, it is a fact that Takyam Anadman Vedanam. Now, interesting, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, Dur Atareva Chavana Ayogya Tve Nihitam Nam. Duskaratvera Virale Dve Sakyatmani Vedane Kesam Chireva Dhiranam Lebite Saranan Vitaha. These two of the nine processes of devotional service, becoming a friend of God and giving everything to God, is for some specific sober persons who have won the right to do that. So it's difficult. Although it's duskaratvera verale, it's very difficult to attain. Doesn't mean you don't want it. It's difficult to attain. Just like devotional service is very rare. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid jatati siddhaye. Out of many thousands among men, one may strive for perfection. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam vidi tatvata. And out of many thousands among men, hardly one knows me in truth. It's difficult. Doesn't mean you don't want it. It doesn't mean you don't want it anyway. You know? It's difficult to get. Doesn't mean you don't want it anyway. Hey, there was a saff, I think, and the court tub, wasn't there a bag? So that has to be brought also. Do you have a key? Hey, how are you going to get back in the door? This door, once you go exit it. Yeah. Bring the bag back, because that bag is, I need to make giwiks. That's what that bag's got. I had to get married to somebody, and my deities happened to be cheaper and sweeter. And the next thing is that they never give you up. Narottam Das says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika that Asray Loye Bhaje, if you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna Tarinya Hai Jaje, Krishna will never give you up. And Ara Sabha Marawa Karan, and everybody else in this world dies uselessly. It doesn't matter what deity you worship. The Lord always pushes his devotee to be more spiritual and to give up this material world and come to him. Krishna wants us. I was talking with Giri Raj Maharaj in Dallas before I left, that it's obvious that Krishna wants us to become more spiritual and go return to him faster than we want to go. We want to hold on to our inertias, our conditioning. We don't have experience. We only have experience of this material world. So, I was in a kirtan program, and the Hridayanath, Paramatma, comes in the heart and says, why don't you just give everything up and come and join us? And I said, well, why don't you give some hint? Why don't you push us in the right directions? No, why should I do that? Our pastimes are enough. It means Krishna doesn't want to interfere with our minute independence. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is non-different. He won't interfere. I was thinking that, you know, when you're embarrassed about your anarthas or your mundane attachments, that when will Krishna finally say, enough is enough. I've had enough. Now I'm going to interfere. I was hoping I would get some shlokas from Bhaktisandarbha, something like that. I asked this question to Bhaktivedya Purnamaraj in the Baltic Summer Festival. It's like, you know, July in Lithuania. And he says, Krishna never interferes with the minute independence of the jiva. He may tweak the circumstances a little bit. You know, like for a devotee, you don't got much room. You know, if you really want to be against, then Krishna will let you do whatever you want. But for a devotee, he'll tweak the circumstance a little bit. You just don't have much options to choose from. And when Bhaktivedya Purnamaraj told me that, I thought, yeah, sounds like Krishna. Sounds like something. Krishna's a very clever fella. Sounds like something he'd do. Definitely sounds like something he would do. So Krishna's always trying to push his devotee to become a bit more spiritual and give a little more and do a lot more like that. And I was talking with Giri Raj Maharaj and I said, sounds like Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead faster than we want to go. It's charming, though, when he says that. And my deity has been pushing me to chant a lakh. You know, that's like 58 rounds. Haven't done that, you know. So, and he's doing it. And then I said, well, it's charming, but I mean, like, I haven't been successful at that. Now, what makes you think that I'm going to be more successful than I've been in the past? He came in the heart and said, you will increase your determination and I will help you. What am I supposed to do? You know, so I'm clocking it up, you know. I'm in the red and I'm clocking it up. What am I supposed to do? Now, there's another thing Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad mentions in his Saratha Darshini Tikka that Krishna has a potency. It is called Svaicha Siddha Shakti. See, when Mother Yasoda wanted to bind Krishna up with ropes, Krishna said, my playing is not finished. And it's called Kriya Shakti. And the other one is Svaicha Siddha Shakti. Whatever Krishna desires becomes a fact. So these two potencies were there. But seeing that Mother Yasoda was sweating and perspiring, then the Kripa Shakti, Vishwanath says, the Kripa Shakti came to the forefront, and the other two potencies took the back burner. The Kriya Shakti and the Svaicha Siddha Shakti. So I've been meditating on that. I was thinking, all right, Svaicha Siddha Shakti. And so I thought, if Balaram wants that, then it has to happen. It's a question of when, you know? Because whatever he wants gets done. Now, I didn't find the Pramanam. I'm looking for it. From Mukundaka Upanishad, it says, Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhya. That's a clear verse. Prabhupada has a tweak on that. It says, Nayamatma Balehenena Labhya. Nobody got anything without power from Balarama. But where is that from? I'm yet to get the Pramanam. I'm yet to get the Sanskrit where that's from. Pretty cool verse, though. Coward boys always see things in relation to Balarama. On a morning walk in Bombay, somebody asked, Hari Rama. Could that mean Ramachandra? Could be. Or if you're from, you know, anywhere from Goa down to Kerala, it's Parashurama Kshetra. Then Rama means Bhrigupati Rama. Could be. And then Prabhupada turned to a devotee and said, but Rama means Balarama. You know, makes sense. Rama Adi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tirsthan. All the manifestations of the Lord headed by Rama, Ramachandra or Balarama, emanate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the avatars emanate through Balarama. Makes sense. You know, when somebody says that Rama means Ayam hi Rohini Putro Ramayan Saroto Gunai Akyasate Rama Iti. Gargamuni said, the son of Rohini will charm everybody by his qualities. Therefore, he's known as Rama. Baladi Kang Balang Vidhu. And because he possesses great strength, he'll be known as Baladeva. And Yadunama Pratik Bhavam Sankarshanamu Shantyapi. Because he brings together the two families of Nanda Maharaj's family and Vasudeva's family, he'll be known as Baladeva. Now, in the 10th canto, 65th chapter, there was another section. See, Dauji went to Vrindavan, being afflicted by the residents of Vrindavan's separation from him. He went. So when he went there as a messenger, then all of Krishna's gopis garroted him, surrounded him, and said, Dauji, you've come. So it means Krishna's coming? Yes, Krishna's coming, you know, like that. So Dauji brought Krishna in his mind and presented himself so expertly to Krishna's gopis that as long as Balaram was there as talking Harikatha, the gopis were pacified and freed of separation from Krishna. Pretty cool. And if you look in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, there in, you know, it mentions that about this. Jiva Goswami says, nobody should think, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoting Jiva, says, nobody should think that Balarama enjoyed Krishna's gopis. No. Those gopi girls were Balarama's gopis in Chaitra Purnima, were girls that had taken their birth after Krishna had his Rasa Leela. They were too young. Or their hearts were already wedded to Balarama. So in 10th canto, chapter 21, description of autumn, Krishna encouraged those girls to keep their chastity for Balarama. And he predicted, Krishna predicted the Balarama's Rasa Yatra in Chaitra Purnima, that the girls of Vrindavan are very eager to get the embrace, your embracing of your arms. In 10th canto, chapter 21. So Krishna predicted Balarama's Rasa Yatra. Interesting stuff. Now another aspect of it, Jiva Goswami says, is that Balarama's Rasa Yatra is halfway between Vrindavan and Mathura. And Krishna's Rasa Yatra occurred in Seva Kunj, in downtown Vrindavan, or on Govardhan at the end, Punchari. Completely different direction where Balaram had his Rasa Yatra. It's interesting. Another aspect of it is that Balarama in his form as Dokadauji, it's a Govardhan Shila that's looking out toward Chandra Sarovara, looking out towards Chandra Sarovara where Krishna had one Rasa Leela pastime, Rasa pastimes. And also Punchari he had. There were two spots in Govardhan Hill where Krishna had Rasa Yatra and one spot in Vrindavan town, Seva Kunj. So Balaram was looking. I didn't get Sanskrit that Krishna will look at Balarama's Rasa Yatra. Balarama will look at Krishna's Rasa Yatra. But I didn't get the other way around. It's pretty interesting stuff. Now, just because Duskaratvera Verale, Dvesakyat Manavedane, even though it's difficult to get, doesn't mean you don't want it. Anyway, now Krishna is Chatur. He's very smart. To prepare us to achieve him, he will push us to chant more, to be more spiritual. And that, well, that's what's preparing us. Chanting more, reading more, being more spiritual, forgetting the material world. This is what actually pushes us to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he likes that, and he does that. So any deity you worship, they'll do that to the devotee. They'll push you to become better. My deities in the heart were getting frustrated sometimes. You know, when I'd get involved with some anarthas that I have, then Balaram would come in the heart. You're dying. It's a fact. We're all dying. My God brothers and God sisters are dying in front of my eyes. So then I thought, according to my astrology, I'm not supposed to leave this world until, you know, I'm 81, 82. So, what is Balaram meaning here? So, the ayush, the duration of life of everybody, is under the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also under the hands of Tulsi Rani. So I asked her, Mother, what is Balarama meaning? She came in the heart and she says, he's frustrated. You're simply not being spiritual enough. She's frustrated. He's frustrated, that's all. You're not dying now. He's frustrated. It means, well, I need to be more spiritual. ABC to GBC, everybody can improve, no matter what you're doing. Everybody can improve and become better. It's charming. At least she told me, it's one sense, she told me the truth. You're not dying yet, but you need to be more spiritual, and he's frustrated, that's all. You're not spiritual enough, that's all. He's frustrated. You can get the straight story from your mother. That's what's nice about Jagadatri Tulsi Rani. At least you can get the straight story from her, you know. If you take shelter of her, you can then she'll give you the straight story. At least that. Just because something is difficult doesn't mean you don't want it anyway, you know. And the Supreme Lord is in your heart. He knows what you want. Now, that was a very interesting thing. I was talking with Matsya once, a couple of years back, in Vrindavan. And he was quoting the famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.9.11. Tama bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsa roja asesu tekshita pato nanunata pungsam yada yada diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vipu pranayase saranukrahaya. Prabhupada's translation of that shloka, Adi Leela chapter 3 verse 111, is better than a translation in 3.9.11. How is that? You figure it. You look at it, you'll see it. But the purport in the Bhagavatam is better than the purport you did in Chaitanya Charitamrita there. Same shloka. The Chaitanya Charitamrita translation is better. So, Matya said, there are three things to glean from this, from Sridhar Swami's commentary and Vishwanath's commentary. One, that whatever form that you're hankering, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests that out of His causeless mercy. That's one thing. Two, the other thing that's very interesting is that Krishna gives His devotee whatever they need. That's another. The third thing is, whatever relationship you cherish with the Supreme Lord, He knows it, and He tries to push you so that you can achieve what you want. That is really charming. When Matsyavatar told me about that, I thought, that is really charming. Krishna knows in your heart what relationship with Him you hanker, and He pushes you to strive to meet it so that you're prepared to take it. Very interesting. Very interesting aspect. So one should never give up. No one should ever think that nothing is unattainable. We would, all right, duskarat vera verale, it may be difficult to obtain, and we may have to take a long time, few births, whatever. But it doesn't matter how many births I have to take or what I have to do. I want it anyway. And that's the determination. You want your relationship with Krishna. Mukti, liberation. Mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavastati. Liberation means giving up your conception. Hitvanyata rupam, any other form, giving up any other form, swarupena vyavastati, and you attain your eternal form. That's what liberation means. There are different levels of liberation. For the parents, liberation is when the kids are asleep. When the kids are the grandparents, when the kids are in the summer camp, you know, this is called liberation, you know. And that's one, that's mundane liberation. It's one thing, you know, like that. What I really like about it is I'm doing so much more research about Tulsi Rani's glories. She can help you with anything. When they're a young person, they want everything. And when their children are grown up, then stop the world, I want to get off. You know, they want liberation. And Tulsi Rani can help you with the five purusharthas. She can help you with the four, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And she can help you with prema also. You know, she can help you with anything like that, basically. And it's cool strategy. Now, last summer, I was toying with an old kavacham, Tulsi kavacham from Brahmanda Purana, which is the earliest, was in 1861 that they mention it in South India, written in Grantham script, which is written how they stored stuff in Sanskrit and Manipravalam. Manipravalam is Sanskrit with Tamil mixed. I remember in 1981 in Bangalore, Atma Tattva, my godbrother, big joker, says, if anybody mixes Sanskrit and Tamil, then the Tamil people will go, ooh, ooh, who am I talking to? Ooh, you know, it was very funny, you know. It means somebody must be reading pattas. You know, you must be reading stuff. You know, if you're mixing it, you know, like that. When you live in the country, like for example, when you live in India, then you're mixing English, you know, English and Hindi together. It's very common stuff, you know. Or in South India, kids play with other kids and they pick up, you know, little kids pick up, you know, all five languages of South India. You know, they have friends in all of them, and they play with all of them, and so they pick it all. They pick up all those languages, you know. And there could be more. There's another language, see, aside of Karnataka, Kannada, and Malayalam, and Tamil, and those are three in those provinces. Andhra, you've got Andhra Pradesh. There's another dialect, which is called Tulu, which is actually, it's a spoken dialect, and it's Mangalore side. It's called Tulu. And, of course, Marathi could be there. Marathi is like, you know, if you look, if anybody ever goes to Pandharpur to take darshan of Pandrinath, that temple is really South Indian-style temple. It's really interesting. So Maharashtra is like on the border. It's south, but it's not. You know, it's really interesting. So when I think of Tulu, okay, so where would these seven boys go? Where would their father send them? Well, there are five Dravidideshas. Like that. Tulu is probably one of them. You probably send him that kid one side, you know. You become the king over there, you know. You know. It's like that, you know. These are all snake stuff. And Sakyam, see, it's very difficult to become God's friend. And Atmanivedana, very few people give everything to God. Very few people, Atmanivedana, giving everything. Very few people give everything, you know? Because see, the thing about it is that whatever you give Krishna, he's never interested in what you give him. He wants what's behind your back. You know, when you give something to him, he says, thank you very much. Can you give a little more? And you give a little more. Thank you very much. Can you give a little more? Just like in the Anior pastime in Govardhan, he said, Anior, Anior, give more, give more. So, some Vrajavasis thought, I gave everything. And other Vrajavasis thought, well, actually I had a quintal of rice in my godown. So Krishna expanded his fingers and took that and said, Anior, give more. How can I give more? Then Balaram gave some tulsi, and he picked up some tulsi and says, triptos me. Now I'm satisfied. Whenever Krishna says, give more, you're wondering, will he ever be happy? You know, like that. It has to be proportionate to the intense greed to give it to him. When you're greedy to give something, he's greedy to take it. And he actually does it. He actually arranges it. He provides it. And not only that, but he'll provide his courier. He'll provide the agent to bring it to him. He's really eager to accept the love of his devotees, and he will do it. And it's amazing, actually. It happened to me personally. And Temple President Mauritius wanted some jewelry, because I don't put any plastic jewelry on my deities. Okay? He wanted some stone. Not, you know, it's not expensive stuff, but it's from the earth. Okay? Real stone. So he had different colors for different outfits. He wanted some green. Malachite, I thought. When I go to Russia, I'll get it. Now the mines in Russia are finished. It's basically Brazilian stuff. So when I got there, then the Lord came in the heart. Remember, you promised to give me this. So then I told some householders, I didn't want this. And they said, how big you want it? So I described how big the Lord's neck was and how big we want it. They bought it. It cost them about $40 at the time. A couple years back. So they had me this jewelry. It's like 5 kilos of jewelry. My God. So I went to 2 temples and then I came back to Moscow. How am I going to get this to the Lord's neck? You know, the Mauritian devotees, they come to Vrindavan maybe at Kartik time. And this was like July. You know, it's like 4 or 5 months ahead of time. So I'm thinking like that. So I went to Moscow. In the old days, nowadays you can get anything online, okay? But in those days, if you wanted to buy a train ticket, you had to go to the station. So my boys went, all the stations in Moscow are in the center of the city. So I went in the center of the city. I got out of one station, and we walked across the street, and we were going to go to get another ticket. And in the queue, in the line to get a ticket, was a devotee from Mauritius. Now, Russians are all Caucasians, you know, like that. So when I saw him, I started to talk to Hindi with him. Hey, where are you from? He says, I'm an aspiring disciple of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I'm going to St. Petersburg for one day for some work. And on Monday, 3 days from then, I'm going home to visit my parents for the summer. Where is home? Home is Mauritius. I laughed. And I just sent him back to the back, and I opened up my luggage, and I gave him the 5 kilos of jewelry, and I said, Krishna Balaram wants you to bring this to their neck. Where are you from? Where's your parents' house? He told me it was in the middle of the island. Oh, why don't you bring some of the same jewelry to the neck of the deities there? It's a good idea. Then when I ran into him and his wife, he married a blue-eyed Russian girl. And he's in Mauritius now. She's picking up Creole. She's all right, you know. She's integrating okay, she told me. Then I asked him, did you ever get that jewelry for the Lord's neck? No, there were some skinheads that were trying to chase me to beat me up, and I was running for my life. Then I turned to his wife, because the wife is the Dharma Patni. She's supposed to protect the husband's religious principles. Mother, it's your job to make your husband's desire true. You should get the jewelry for Krishna's neck. This way your husband's desire becomes true. She tried. She emailed me. She said, look, the stone is not available now. It's tough. What are we supposed to do? And I said, oh, come on. You know, cultured pearls, something like that. String them up. Mix it with cultured pearls and string it up and put it on the Lord's neck. Could do that, you know, like that. When I go back in the end of December, I'm going to ask him again, so what happened, you know? Or actually, what I should do is probably email him. Said, send me a photo. Send me a photo of the jewelry on the Lord's neck. Ooh. He'll do it. He'll get it done eventually. That'll be a good thing, you know? If you want to give Krishna something, don't give him junk. Give him some good stuff. You know, like that. After 5 years, you know, the plastic gets thrown out, you know, like that. You know? Slowly, slowly. You can mix and match it, and you can make it own, and you can make jokers, and you can make neck pieces, and so many things. Slowly, slowly, you can get rid of the plastic. We're not talking about gold, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, blue sapphire. There is a cheap stone for every color. For every color. And it's cheap. Just like garnet is a damn cheap red stone. It's called a poor man's ruby. And it's available. You don't have to have really expensive stuff. And if really expensive stuff, just like in Vrindavan, they have like some jewelry, some gold chain with some diamonds and rubies that somebody gave to the deities. It stays on the deity's body all the time, even when they bathe them. And like an Ekadasi, they may flip it around the back of the deity's neck, backside. It stays on the deity's body and never comes off. So precious jewelry can be like that. Gold chains, diamonds, you know, it stays in the deity's body and doesn't come off. Could do. Like that. Rest of the stuff, cheap. Pujaris, even if they stole it, they're not going to get much for it. So it's not worth it. It's not worth it to steal it. But real jewelry, semi-precious stuff. It doesn't cost you an arm and a leg, but it's the love that counts. And give some real stuff to Krishna. Tell people to give it in kind. We don't want your money. Give it in kind. Bring it, buy it, make it up, and give it to the pujaris for your favorite deity. That's the idea. Give Krishna a real good gift. You know, on Janmashtami or other deity days, you know, like that.
work out. All right. Any questions now? Yes, Prabhu.
Tama said. So, what does destiny depends on? Destiny, what it would depend on?
What does it depend on?
Yeah. How is our destiny defined?
Karma is basically two. Half destiny and half action. Bhishma Pitama said 50-50. Yudhisthira asks, is it destiny or karma? Destiny, that is basically something from your previous life. Destiny is prarabdha and aprarabdha. But what was interesting, prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma. Karma that is not manifest and karma that is manifest. Both of them are destroyed. Kramena eva praliyata vishnur bhakti ratatmanom. So it's interesting. And karma is basically something. Destiny is basically something. Now, destiny can't change if you serve Tulsi Rani and serve Krishna. But generally they don't. They just use it as an agent of change. Just like, for example, Krishna kills his devotee on a very auspicious time. Like there's an avaduta, god brother of mine, from St. Louis. He died in Vrindavan on Varuntani Ekadasi. You die on Ekadasi in Vrindavan? Come on. You know, you can be as weird as everybody wants, you know, to say. You die in Vrindavan, you're liberated anyway, you know. So, I brought him 6 kilos of goji berries from South Africa to try to help his health. He had cancer. And he gave me back, you know, 5.5. Didn't hardly use them. And, you know, goji is a good immune system boost. So I was thinking, what am I supposed to do to help his health? His health was going downhill. So I asked my god sister, Divi Shakti, let him go. He'll be happy. We have to stay here and rot for 30, 40 more years. I gave up. Let him die. He left the planet. So then I went to Bombay for Ram Navami festival in that year, and I saw Bhima, who was from the same village as the boy. He knows a guy. Hey, what happened to our godbrother? I couldn't do anything to help his health. You don't know? What? He had AIDS. AIDS? How did he get that? Oh, before he became a devotee, he had a girlfriend. He got it from her. She gave it to him, or I don't know. She gave it to him. He gave it to her. I don't know. He said that to me. So what was interesting is that I understood that Krishna used his AIDS as an agent of change to kill him, to wind him down and kill him. You know? it was really, really interesting. Krishna does it a lot. I was in Italy. There are only 2 Italian Vaishnavas that really impacted my life. So when I was in Italy, I was talking about them to the temple president in Prabhupada Desh when I visited there. And he said, he's an old timer, he said, I go, where is that Italian devotee? Manasatita. And he goes, we never knew what it meant, Manasatita. And I said, you got to understand, Prabhupada's a Bengali Vaishnava. If it's diction, he said Manasatita, it means Manasatirtha. Now it makes a lot of sense. What happened to him? So then they asked his widow in Rome, when did your husband leave? She told the date. But in the GCAL, to make a time, you need the time. So what was the time? So what happened was, after Advaitacharya's festival, he went out shopping for something. And a car hit him and ran him over. Okay, it was a hit and run. Knocked him into the bushes. And they didn't find his body for 3 days. Then when they found him, they did an autopsy on him. What did the autopsy report say? According to the autopsy report, he must have left his body between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. on that day. So I put all that ingredients in the G-Cal, and it turns out it was a Dvaita Acharya's appearance day. Krishna kills his devotee in a very auspicious time. He was a very charming devotee. I didn't see him for some years in Vrindavan. So where in the heck did he go? And he said, "Dude, don't know, he died." So I find out his disappearance timing. And I said, "Wow, Krishna kills his devotee in a very auspicious time." So I was 4 days before the festival. I said, "You better pass the word around to all the Italian Vaishnavas. It's time to have a festival. For not only Advaita Acharya, but for that Vaishnava also." Krishna kills his devotee in a very auspicious time. So it was interesting. In Krishna Gatamrita, I think it's Krishna Gatamrita Bindu. It actually came in a BTG article that there was a Rajkumar, a prince, who was lamenting over the death of his father, something like that. And Yamaraj appeared as a small boy to preach to him and said, "The duration of life of every living entity is in the hands of the personality of Godhead. After their departure, they may come under my jurisdiction." 99.9% of living entities do. Some devotees don't. Like that. Your father died because time was up. And in Brahmavavarta Purana, it says the same thing. There was some demigoddess. She was freaked out. "Why my husband died untimely? Why has my husband been taken away from me?" So she asked for all the demigods to come. "If you don't give me the proper answer, I'm going to curse you all." So Yamaraj came in Brahmavivarta Prana and said, "The duration of life is handed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After their departure, they may come under my jurisdiction. Your husband left because his time was up." She was silent. She couldn't say anything more. Destiny is basically under the influence of the personality of Godhead. Now, karmadi nir tahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. By performing devotional service, any reaction you get is reduced. So, this is why we serve Tulsi Rani. The more you serve her, she's amritatva pradayani, she gives liberation. She's sarva sobhagyavardhani. Anyone's good fortune is increased, is expanded by her. Hari Bhakti Vilas says. And bhakti chaitanya karani, the cause, efficient cause of devotional mood. And Archita Twam Sarasarai, she was worshipped by the demigods and the demons. So anybody can serve her. And if they serve her, then she'll liberate them. It was very interesting. There's a mystical shloka in shloka 7 where Pundarik says in his stotram that there's nobody higher than her within the three worlds. Because of her, the people become purified. And she awards them Vishnu Sanghena. Association of the Lord Vishnu turns the whole world to Vaishnava. My god sister in Los Angeles with her husband, Ishana, must be, 65, something like that. She's not a computer girl. She's a botanist. But if I ask her a question about bugs, oh man, she jumps. Like Patrika, I can ask him a question about lights. Boom. Lights or organic dirt. Boom. He'll jump. Because it's his forte. If I ask Ishana about bugs, oh man, she jumps. She'll answer that question fast because it's her forte. So it's the same kind of thing, Is that basically our business is to encourage people to love Tulsi Rani. The more they do that, then she'll take care of them. They'll become fortunate beyond everything. Just like I found out recently, the Sanskrit that you can put Tulsi neck beads on anybody. Tom, Dick, Harry, or Mary. Chicken, tick, koala, meat eater, drunkard, doesn't matter. Now, what was interesting about it, from the Vishnu Dharmartara Shloka, Narayana says, asocham, they're not clean. Anacharo, they're condemnable. Mamaviti, they'll achieve me. Na samsaya, don't doubt it. We may have a doubt. Okay, look, let's wait for our grandmother, grandfather, meat eater, drunkard, Let them wait for the last 8 days before they croak, right? They're in the hospital. That's an idea. What happens if they die of a massive heart attack and you kick yourself in their teeth? You know, you're at your office somewhere and you kick yourself in the teeth. You didn't do anything, you know? So, subhasachasa sigram. Sigram means immediately. If you wanted something, you should have done it yesterday, you know? One devotee says, what would be a good time to do something? Last year, you know? You should have done it before, you know, like that. We're finding it out. You should give it quick, you know? Because they will liberate them. They will purify them. She's a smart girl. Vishnu's wife is a very smart girl. If you can't get it this way, you're going to get it this way. I had examples. One girl I'm still trying to find in Nizhny Novgorod became a devotee from scratch in 2 weeks flat by serving Tulsi Rani. Nobody preached to her. She didn't know nothing about Krishna consciousness. She became a devotee in 2 weeks flat. Cool. Another aspect, they used to have the saying, wherever the train goes, the Marawaris follow. Now, wherever the plane goes, the Indian follows. Okay? And, you know, and so their parents send their kids, like in Russia, it's like, the education is like one-third the cost of a university education in India. So the parents send the kids there. All the kids got to do is cram language, you know, and for about 7-8 months, which Indians are easy to do. They can cram that language easy, you know. And then they learn. So, and Russians are Caucasian, so they take all these Southeast Asian Indians and stick them all in one building, okay? You got the Pakistanis, the Bangladeshis, the Nepalis, and Sri Lankans, Oriyas, the Biharis, and all in one building. And they play cricket on Sunday, okay? Right. So then you got a little box, okay? On Saturdays, I was doing programs. There's one Bengali devotee, disciple of Radhanath Maharaj in Calcutta now. Really smart guy, Radhika Raman. He was there at that time. So we were doing programs. They got a little tiny box, okay? Room. And you got three roommates. So they put plastic to bifurcate it into three sections. This is your space. 2.5 meters. Do whatever you want. You know, so one devotee had a little altar with a Tulsi Rani on it. Come on, what's the matter with you? You're from Southeast Asia. What's the matter with you? What's your etiquette? Offer a little butter. What's the matter with you? Offer an incense. What's the matter with you? Offer a baseness. What's the matter? So to keep decorum with your roommates, you do that. 6 months later, the chicken tikka, the Jack Daniels, the smoking out the window. She does that. It's a question of time. Sometimes she does it faster than others, you know, like that. So that's really cool, you know. I've seen it with my eyes. It's cool stuff, you know. Destiny. Yeah, destiny is basically prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma. Aprarabdha karma. It's basically unmanifested activities from previous life. Aprarabdha karma, right. But devotional service, there's also bhakti, there's sukriti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is referring to bhakti and muli sukriti, the sukriti that gives devotional service. There's karma, there's, you know, karma and muli sukriti, the piety that gives karmic reaction, like that. I forgot, there's at least two divisions. There's bhakti and muli sukriti, and there's other, karma and muli sukriti, like that. So there may be at least two divisions, if not more. But Tulsi Rani will do it better. And you know what was cool? I found a shloka in Hari Bhakti Vilas 7279 that says, as Lakshmi Devi is dear to Lord Hari, Tulsi is even more. She's famous as Sri Sakhi, the friend of Sri. So these co-wives are friends. But how would it be? Now, I'm gonna have my boys in the winter vacation go to South India. We want to find some South Indian Sanskrit Brahmins. We're founding a few. I found a few already. And we'll go there. So, the idea of it is that you ask them these questions. How is Tulsi better than Lakshmi? They're friends, but how are they better? It'll be interesting to see if we find any pramanams or like that. It'll be interesting stuff. The logic that I get, evidently Lakshmi Devi is partial to her own devotees, but Tulsi Rani wants to steal the hearts of the demons also. So that's the logic that I get. Let's see if I get the Sanskrit to prove the logic. We'll see. Be interesting stuff. So those that are Sanskrit pundits that are absorbed in that line, we'll ask them. Yeah, it'll be fun. That's all I can think about. It is aprarabdha karma, you know, like that. But like for householders, you know, they have these legalized burglars, you know. And so if they teach them to become a pure devotee of Tulsi Rani, Tulsi will liberate them. But it means that the parents have to be a good example. It means they have to be pure devotees too, in order to set a good example for the kids. Yeah. So if you get the kids, you get the parents. Yeah. It's a strategy. It's a thought. Haribo.
Yeah. Hurry up. What?
So, how do we please
Krishna? It's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there is 9 aspects of her service. Drishti by seeing her, sprishti by touching her, tatadhyata and thinking about her, kirtita, chanting her glories, namita, chanting her names, stuta, offering prayers to her, robita, growing her. Now in robita, Vishwanath says you don't have to plant seeds every day, you have to make sure she's happy so she has nice flowers and buds. And pujita, the 9th is worship. So basically, you have to do that. Now, there is, just because you have somebody, you don't have them. Even though she's everywhere and you can see her everywhere, doesn't mean you've got her. There was, she also doesn't push. She pushes, but she doesn't push. She does the same thing. There's a... In 1991, a Gujarati friend of mine is now in Kenya. He was in Bombay in Mira Road, and he went to Cross Maidan for a lecture of Murari Bapu there. And he said, Angan mein tulsi ka kunda, frij mein anda. Kaise hindu hoti hai. We fell off the chair laughing. It's pretty funny. That on their balcony, they're keeping a Tulsi Devi to prove to people how religious they are. But within the refrigerator, they're keeping eggs. Now, what kind of Hindu is that? You want to know what kind of morals they got? Open their refrigerator. You'll know exactly where their head's at, you know? So when he said that, I thought, that's very funny, you know? They're externally trying to show people that they're religious. But how religious they are depends upon what they're eating, you know? Pretty cool stuff. You may have something, doesn't mean... They're having basically a stepmotherly attitude. They don't know what he got. Unless they really serve. Now, what was interesting is Sanandu Kumar, a Keralite botanist, put 2 state-of-the-art greenhouses in Vancouver. I'm going to go check it out for their Tulsi Festival that they have. It's like June 16th. Like that. It's a Saturday night. And so he told me in London, I called him up 2008, 2009, you know, some pujari had problems. Before I could talk, what were the girl's problems? You know, bugs are dead, dirt is dead, something. You know, bugs are there, dirt is dead. Before I could open my mind, my mouth, and talk about it, she goes, female psychology, what are you talking about? She does it all the time. What are you talking about? Now, he's a Keralite from South India. He goes, you know the Bollywood flicks. The girl wants to attract the boy, so she does something like she's weak or something. Come on. He said, Tulsi Rani is married to Lord Vishnu. She doesn't need anything. She's Atmarama. She's a female. She does this strategy. I go, that's cool. Anything else? Yep. 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. If they're not ready to sweat for her, they'll never know who she is. And I really like that. I thought, that vijnana, that realization is so nice, I'll probably find the Sanskrit somewhere to prove it. It was so satisfying. Probably I'll find the Sanskrit that proves it. That was neat. So people have it. But if they don't serve her, they don't know. So it's like the deities, they're there. But if you don't really love them, then you'll never get off the platform, that God is a brass doll or, you know, wooden doll. You'll never get off it, you know, like that. It takes love. Premanjana, the eyes have to be of, then it works. You can't force your way in. So it's the same kind of thing. People have it, yeah. It's one of the aspects of bhakti, yeah. It's a difference. There's a difference when, if you're ready to be a child, she's ready to be her mother. It's a different bhava, you know. Basically, the child's mood is anything for my mother. You know, when you're growing, when you're in middle age and your mother's dying in the hospital or something like that, anything your mother, spend any amount for your mother. But the mother, the biological mother is limited what they can do. You see, it depends, it's not what the parents want the child to be, it's what the kid is, you know. So people are ready to do anything for their mother. Tulsi Rani can liberate. She can do many things beyond what your birth mother can do. Like that, because she's not limited. She's not limited by a material body. Like that. But people don't know. Why? Because they're covered by illusion. But actually, she can do anything for anybody she wants. Our business is to help them steal. That's it. Our business is to help. Krishna's a chit chore. He wants to steal. And Tulsi Rani's a chit chore. And our business is to help them steal. That is the business of a child. You're ready to help them steal and distribute their gunagana, their glories. And steal. Steal means you're helping, you're offering them to other living entities to serve her. So she can steal them. She can capture their heart and purify them and offer them to her husband. Turn the whole world to Vaikuntha. Now, Pundarik would not write that in the Sanskrit unless it's there in the Puranas. I'm convinced of that. The question is where? Reverse engineering means you find it, you know. What might have motivated that pundit to write that, you know? I found a lot of stuff, but it's probably like the tip of the iceberg of what I'm going to get in the next 4 years. Probably going to be a flood coming in, you know. But that's my understanding. You know, she's a big chit chore. Heart thief. Krishna's a chit chore. Our business is to help him steal. Then you become their servant. That's the idea. Yeah? What else? Come on, hurry. Put the butt.
Let's see. Tulsi wants to. Should we give Tulsi beads to everyone on Sankirtan? This is kind of a realization I've been having as you've been speaking. Should we books to everyone on Sankirtan? Should I give Tulsi beads to everyone to put on their necks?
Tulsi beads can be sold. You know, they put them in the bookstall or something and sell them.
No, I distribute books to everyone.
If you got some people, you know, like they take on Sankirtan, they take prasadam. You know, give something, huh? If you're, at least, who fights with a pakora? Who argues with a sweet ball? You know what I mean? So if they're not going to take a book, at least take a sweet and give a donation. You know what I mean? So sometimes I know when some devotees in the monuments, some householders, you know, to bring in the chips for their paying for their rent or paying for their livelihood, they would sell Tulsi products on the mall. You can keep something in your pocket if you got to, suppose you got a really good person who gives you a really good donation. You know, we used to, like, somebody would give you a 20 or a 50 out there. You would stack them up with a lot of books or something, you know. Yeah, you know, you could keep a few strands in your pocket. How many of those sweeties are you going to meet a day? You know what I mean? You know, keep 4 or 5, you know, Tulsi neck bead strands that are offered to the deities in your pocket. You never know if you're going to meet a sweetie. You know, you can give him a bunch of books. You know, you can give him, here you go, you know. Take this too, you know. No harm. There's no harm. It's like that. Yeah. Orkya, anything else? Hari Bo. Hari Krishna.